Well, good morning again. Oh, you can do better than that. Good morning. I have a friend named Colt McCoy who used to attend here as a university student several years ago. Colt told me about the time that his parents brought him from his hometown of Gale, Texas to Abilene to go to ACU. They brought two vehicles. Colt drove and rode with his mother, and their father was behind them, or actually in front of them. And, you know, the scenic route between Gale and Abilene is not much to look at. So they got a little bored, they sang some songs, they tried to pass the time, and Colt and his mom decided to have a little fun and drive up next to his dad. And so they rolled down the windows, music blaring, gave one of these, you know, numbers to him, looked at his dad, and his dad looked at him and just went, and just starts sobbing like a baby. No doubt thinking about having to say goodbye to his son within a few hours. So, seniors, if your parents are blubbering this morning, you'll have to be a little gracious with them. No doubt they have been thinking about, praying about, looking forward, and a little bit anxious about this day for a long time. I'm sure they're experiencing mixed emotions. I still have a letter from my dad that he wrote to me when I graduated from high school. It means the world to me. Words of affirmation, words of blessing, even words of a charge. This is the type of man God wants you to be. And let me just encourage you parents here this morning, if you haven't done something like that yet, either write a letter or speak some words of blessing and affirmation and a charge over your children, do that quickly. Time is short. You know, Jesus, in the 13th chapter of John's Gospel, knows that his time with his disciples is running out. And when you know you have very little time left with those you love and care about, you start to say the things that are really important. Perhaps the things that you've put off. Or maybe you start to reemphasize the things that you really want them to remember. And that's the scene you get in John chapter 13, and that's the scene I want to look at this morning, because it has meaning and it has purpose, not just for those of you who are graduating high school, but for all of us, because Jesus is leaving his disciples soon, and this he thinks is really important that we see and that we remember. Join with me, if you would, in John chapter 13, beginning in the first verse. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he'd come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who've had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So Jesus, knowing that his time is short, has a meal with his disciples, a meal, the Passover, which means so much to the people of Israel. And in John's Gospel, things go a little differently in this Last Supper. In the rest of the Gospels, we get the Lord's Supper. We get the Eucharist. We get communion. We get, do this in remembrance of me. This is my body. This is my blood. John does things a little differently in his Gospel. And in fact, this chapter all the way through chapter 17 serve as something of a last will and testament for Jesus. These are the things he thinks are crucial for his disciples to hear as he leaves them. And he gets up from the table, takes off his outer clothing, he wraps a towel around his waist, and he begins to do the work of a lowly servant. The disciples are left scratching their head. What is he doing? What is he up to? It's almost scandalous because in that day, nobody of Jesus' stature, nobody with the respect and the authority that he commanded, nobody would be seen washing someone's feet. You know, we talk sometimes today about how unsanitary it is to wear flip-flops. You have no idea how dirty feet were back then. This is the days before paved streets and sidewalks. You're walking through all kinds of animal droppings all through the streets. No closed-toed shoes. His feet were disgusting. That's why you had the lowest of the low servant do it. And yet the Son of God, knowing that His time is short, knowing that He comes from the Father and will be returning to the Father, knowing that all authority on heaven and on the earth has been given to Him, gets up and washes the feet of His followers. And I love the way that John says it. He says that Jesus knew all of those things about Himself, about who He was and about where He was going. So He got up and washed His disciples' feet. I'm not sure I'd use the word so. You'd think John would say something like, and despite all that, He decided to take one for the team. And in spite of knowing that He was that important, He decided to do this lowly act of service. But that's not what John says. John says, so. As if this is a natural part of who Jesus is. Yes, He's Lord. Yes, He's teacher. But He's also servant. He says, this is who I am. It's a natural expression of who I am. They're two sides to the same coin. And then he has the conversation. And it actually sounds a little like the Lord's Supper to me. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I've done for you and do this for one another. Not just those you love, not just those you care about, not just those who love you and care about you. He knows one of the people around this table is going to betray Him. Jesus loves even those who act like enemies. And He washes their feet. The lowliest of the low. Maybe this would be something like cleaning somebody's toilet without having to be asked in our day and in our time. But he says, this is who I am. And if you're going to follow me, this is who you are. This is what we do. This is how we're different from the rest of the world. We don't claim prestige. We don't claim honor. We don't claim to be above the fray. No, we get our hands dirty. We serve people. We love Him. We do the things for them that nobody else wants to do. This is who I am. And this is who you're called to be. So you seniors in this room this morning, you got a whole life ahead of you. And you're going to be thinking about what you want to do with that life, where you want to work, if you're going to college, what kind of major you want to have, what job's going to have the most money, how quickly can you rise to the top of the food chain. And all of those things are great conversations to have, but what I would say is this, don't forget who Jesus says He is and what that means for you. Look for ways to serve. Look for ways to wash the feet of others. And maybe in our day, we don't really wash feet. You ever had your feet washed, by the way, by another person? Kind of embarrassing, isn't it? I don't really like to take my shoes off when I enter into somebody else's house. I want somebody handling my nasty feet. And he says, you need to wash the feet of others. Shane Claiborne tells a great story. Shane spent some time over in Calcutta actually working with and kind of being an apprentice of and learning from Mother Teresa on the streets of Calcutta. Serving the poor. And he remembers one day this big old load, this truck came with donations that people had given. And what they found was basically a bunch of ratty shoes, old shoes that nobody wanted to use anymore. And they began unloading them and taking them back to give to those who didn't have any shoes in Calcutta. As they finished loading the last bag of shoes, one of the sisters asked Shane, "Did you notice Mother Teresa's feet?" He said, "No, I haven't seen it." And he looked. Her feet were badly deformed. They looked terrible. He said, "What happened to her feet?" He said, "Well, Mother Teresa's made a habit of going through that huge pile of shoes and finding the absolute worst pair there is and wearing them herself so that nobody else has to." Maybe that's what washing feet looks like in our day and in our time. And what I would encourage you to do is to conspire, to plot in secrecy. Find ways to serve so that you're not noticed, so that you're not patted on the back, but find ways to serve both your friends and even those who might seek to do you harm. Because Jesus says, if you want to follow me, I've left you an example. This is who I am, and this is what I'm doing. And if you want to follow me, this is who you are, and this is how you'll live. Let's pray, and we'll be done. Father, a day like today is exciting. A celebration of a milestone. And Father, as we think about these young seniors, as they think about the rest of their lives and what kind of life they will live and what kind of things they will do, Father, we pray that not only they, but we also remember who we are, who we follow, and what kind of people we're called to be. We thank you for the example of Jesus, who, knowing the power and the authority that he commanded, decided to wash the feet of his disciples. Not because he had to, but because he wanted to. Father, may we imitate and emulate the heart of Jesus. May we look for ways in this world to serve those around us. When people look at us, may they see us with a towel wrapped around our waist and a basin full of water on the ground. May we be servants in this world. May we wash feet for a living. This is our prayer in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. We have some great shepherds in this place. If you have a need this morning, they're here to respond to you. I talked to one of our shepherds this past Wednesday night. We're studying about heaven and about earth, about the new creation a little bit in the class that I'm teaching. We had a conversation afterwards, this shepherd and I. He said, some people, when they think of heaven, they think of worshiping for all of eternity, a big, long worship service. And that sounds good. My greatest joy in life, the moments that I hope I can live over and over again in this place we call heaven, those have been the moments where I've gotten to serve. Those have been the moments when I've held the hand of somebody in the hospital, or helped somebody with their yard work, or done something for them that they couldn't do for themselves. Those are the kind of shepherds we have in this place. And the reason they're like that is because they follow the example of Jesus. And we just want you to know that they're here to receive you with open arms this morning, whatever need you may have, whether it's a struggle you're dealing with or something you want to celebrate about. We have shepherds in this place. They'll be available during this song. So if you have a need, won't you come while we stand, while we sing.